sunshine, little Uber, liver, liver.
All right. Welcome to As the Worm Turns here on KBNF. I'm Wind Clearwater, and I'm here with Lance this evening.
Good evening.
And despite the cold weather, we're going to talk gardening.
Well, it's coming into the season. So.
It is. So it certainly is.
A lot of things to talk about.
Yeah. The water is a great thing. Mm-hmm. We've got the snow and everything stacking up in the high country is a wonderful thing.
I hear about 110, 115%.
Yeah. I drove over Grand Mesa a few weeks ago, and there had to be a good solid 15 feet of snow up there at the top. I mean, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's great, and that's a good thing for the ground. And even down low here, we still have a lot of water on the ground in a frozen state, which is good.
Yeah.
I remember last year at this time, the ground was thawed even.
Yeah, you could go on. Actually, I was watering this time of year.
Yeah, exactly. I did too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, get a little deep watering going and even digging.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful that I can't dig yet because there'll be plenty of that coming soon.
Uh-huh.
But it's kind of neat. So what do you think, Lance? I was thinking about the trees, and as deep a freeze as we've got still going at this point of the year, it seems to me that the fruit trees will be a little bit slower to come out than maybe in past years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope that they come out later.
Yeah.
I've always said we have to have a cold March.
Right.
It needs to be, even though people say, I'm so tired of cold.
Right.
But if you want fruit consistently, you have to have a cold March.
Yeah. I kind of monitor the earth's temperature by how the apricots along the ditch between Hotchkiss and Paonia, they seem like they're the first thing that actually come into bloom around here, because there's a south-facing hillside. There's the highway right there. And so they tend to bloom before anything else. So I've just been reminded that we have a call-in show here. And you can give us a call at 527-4868 or 1-866-KVNF now. And ask us anything you want regarding gardening.
Gardening.
We'll do the best we can to answer.
Yeah.
And if Lance can't answer, I'll try.
Yeah. We'll keep talking.
Yeah, we'll keep talking otherwise. So so meanwhile, if we have a cold March, the ground stays frozen and cold, and the sap doesn't run in the trees as quickly.
Yeah.
So that'll get us hopefully a little bit more of a chance to have fruit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
and you know, every week goes up a few more degrees.
Yeah.
In April.
Right. In April. Exactly. Which we're thankful for.
Yeah. But anyways, it's nice to see snow. This is the first year in 4 or 5 years I'm actually started pruning with snow on the ground.
Wow. That's great.
That, you know, it's like I'm out there in my felt line boots.
Right. Exactly. That helps a lot, right?
Yeah.
Nice big heavy jackets.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a good thing. So what were you pruning? Were you pruning today?
I was pruning today, and actually I was pruning a peach orchard, but I was also pruning apples, apples and pears.
So this is a good time of year to get out and do your pruning.
Yeah, yeah.
And would that go for shade trees, ornamentals, as well as the fruit trees?
There's certain ornamentals that you can do now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you know, I got a list here of, you know, most of them, you don't bloom, most of those ornamental flowering shrubs, you don't bloom till after they prune, till after they bloom.
Okay.
You know, so your forsythias, lilacs, spireas, those are going to be later.
Because they set their buds in the fall, correct?
In the fall.
So then if you cut them now, they won't have any flower buds.
You won't have any flowers.
Right.
I say it's okay to prune if you want to get them out of your way.
Right.
You know, or something like that.
But you'll lose the flowers.
You lose the flowers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, so that's what that is.
That makes sense.
You know, but there's buddleias.
Right.
You know.
Butterfly bush.
Butterfly bush. Yeah. I'm trying to think of. Oh, another thing I've never talked about is hedges.
Mm-hmm.
And just not so much that you could do it now.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the little techniques that you need to think about is you actually hedge it below the height that you want.
Right.
You know, 3 to 6 inches below.
Mm-hmm.
And then the hedge will grow up to that height.
Okay.
Yeah, so. Because if you hedge it, what it does is it gets really a lot of stumps and stuff there. And eventually, it's really hard to it's not pretty.
Right. It gets real hard woody and sticky in there.
Yeah, your privet hedge and your evergreen hedges and stuff.
Right.
So it's best to prune them a little bit or hedge them a little bit lower.
Right. And I, as I understand, things like lilacs it's good to even take them all the way to the ground
yeah.
every few years or so, and it actually stimulates some more of that lower growth. And once mm-hmm. again, you may not get flowers for a year, mm-hmm. but you'll actually reinvigorate the yeah. shrub itself.
Yeah.
So a lot of the older ones you see, they kind of almost look like spreading trees, which yeah. can be really pretty too, but yeah.
They don't bloom as much because they're old.
Much. Exactly.
Now, an old timer told me what you do is you actually prune on lilacs or forsythias, but mainly lilacs, 1/5 every year.
1/5.
Yeah. And you actually prune it down to the ground mm-hmm. or as close to the ground. And you're taking new, middle-aged, and old, a balance of those. So you have all that kind of wood throughout the tree or okay. shrub.
Interesting.
And then if it's still too high, that's when you top it.
That's right. Yeah.
When you're doing these guys, you actually are pruning down at the ground.
Mm-hmm. And you'll get that suckering growth up mm-hmm. out of the ground as you take the tops off. So mm-hmm. if you really want to get a thick hedgerow going, yeah. that's a good way to do it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you tend to get that top growth, especially on a lilac, which could get to be 15 feet tall. Mm-hmm. And they're huge.
Yeah.
And so you end up losing that hedge effect.
Now, and just for all you people that get those really big, I've cut down some like 6-inch logs of lilacs.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a hardwood.
It is a hardwood.
And it's very good. People love to carve it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very good firewood.
It's a good firewood too. Yeah.
You know, so I have some friends that make spoons and ladles. And whenever I see that
sure.
stuff, I take it to them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really neat. And that's an interesting thing to think about because a lot of the shrubbery around here, actually, you mm-hmm. get more hardwood even on some of the oaks that are yeah. Scrub oak. It's a nice hardwood. Elder is even the same way. Mm-hmm. You get that kind of
yeah.
that kind of thing. And I have some nice Nanking cherries can actually form. And they don't get huge logs, but they can make a sizable yeah. piece of wood.
Yeah.
There's a beautiful one here in town that's kind of a tree form even. It's really beautiful. Mm-hmm. You know, it's got some nice like trunks in it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, so you can prune them up like that. So feel free to give us a call, folks, 527-4868, 1-866-KVNF now. We'll be here for about 20 minutes talking gardening. We'd be happy to clue you in on any questions you might have about things. So tell us a little bit about the peaches. Last week you guys talked a little bit more about the core fruits or the pome fruits, they
yeah,
call them.
Yeah.
And so the stone fruits.
The stone fruits.
Which would be your nectarines, your peaches, cherries,
apricots.
Cots.
Mm-hmm. Plums. Yeah.
They are all basically pruned the same because their fruiting spurs are similar?
Yeah, well, they have different growing habits, so the plum looks totally different than an apricot.
Right.
But
looks like a weed.
Yeah. But what they bloom on is last year's growth.
So the wood that grew last year mm-hmm. and then turned woody in the fall,
uh-huh.
that's where the flower buds are.
Yeah, and it's a shiny green. It's not a woody green,
mm-hmm.
you know. And this is same with apricots. Mm-hmm. Apricots will be a reddish brown.
Okay.
And peaches will be a pinkish
Pinkish red. Or red. Red, yeah.
And actually, the peaches I was pruning today were actually greenish yellow.
Are they? Yeah.
It's just a different variety. Mm-hmm. But you can tell because it's not woody.
Right.
Not that real. Not bark.
Not the hardwood like yeah. you would when you're, say, pruning a an apple or a pear.
Yeah. And the other thing you need to – oh, okay. You want to take it?
Sure. We have a call from Marty in Montrose. What's up, Marty?
Is this Wind?
It is.
Hey, Wind. Marty here. You know Marty.
Yeah.
Hey, Marty.
I'm your mom.
What's up? Too much information.
I wanted to see if Lance has followed up on a suggestion. I heard you guys were talking about pruning.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And can Lance hear me?
Yeah, yeah. I can hear
oh,
you.
Oh, yeah, we're all here.
Okay. Remember the last time I called in on alias?
Yes, I do remember.
Did you try? Have you been trying something other than...
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I've talked to numerous people, and even that evening there's a couple other people calling because I was saying use bleach.
Maybe you could fill us
in.
Yeah, the thing was one of the things you do when you're pruning is, especially if you're going from tree to tree, but mm-hmm. even within the tree,
right.
you should sterilize your pruners.
Mm-hmm. And that's for what purpose?
Main thing is I was doing a fire blight in apples and pears.
Right.
But there are other gamosas.
Gamosas in the stone fruits. Yeah.
Yeah, but mainly peaches.
However, the bleach solution dries out the cut. may cause other problems.
So then you get cracking on the bark.
An
arborist friend of mine from Denver area years ago told me to switch to something milder, like a solution of like a
hydrogen
disinfectant, like pine sole or something like that.
Yeah, I have rubbing alcohol just in my truck all the time.
That's drying too.
Is it?
I would. Yeah, think of it. Alcohol evaporates real fast.
And when it dries, the wound, is that a problem? Does it peel the bark, or is it crack the wood, or what's the issue with that?
Well, it dries where the cut has been made, and then, like you said, it could cause cracking, desiccation real fast, and causing cracking and introducing any other kind of diseases to that wound.
Yeah, and also if it dries out, that part that starts to heal might be dried, it's slowed down, let's put it that way.
Right.
Yeah.
Because the healing hormone is actually secreted from the collar of where the branch actually meets the main branch that it comes off of, correct? So
we mentioned the collar last week.
So,
but I just want to see if you followed up on the suggestion and pruning season here and all.
You know, I have, I'm trying to think if I've actually haven't gotten anything that's actually diseased yet, but I do have the stuff. And you mentioned, you mentioned pine sole.
Yeah.
The thing I did, I had two trees with fire blight. I cut them down.
Did you?
Yeah.
In your own garden?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So with fire blight, can you just remove the branches that are affected, or is it systemic that you need to take the entire
tree? You're supposed to cut, 16 inches below?
16 below the fire blight.
And then you sterilize every cut.
Mm-hmm. And so why did you take the whole tree?
It was just getting worse.
It was spreading?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I had to do that myself back in the day.
And I did it several years ago with a Gala apple, and that has come back really beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a Fuji, and if we'll see how it comes back. And then I had a Flemish pear 2 years ago to cut it back. It sprouted out, grew beautiful. I was pruning it, and at the end of the season last year, fire blight took the whole thing.
Took the whole tree.
So I'm going to take the stump out this year.
So you take the stump as well. So when you cut the Gala, though, you say you cut
it
to the main trunk, but you left it above the graft.
I left it above
the graft. And so then that just sprouted out of the graft, and the Gala was still.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay, well, I'm going to sign off. And
thanks, Marty. Appreciate you calling.
Yeah, we'll see you around town.
Tell my mom hi.
I will. take care and have a good show.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah.
So that's interesting because maybe some people don't know, but all of our fruit trees, not all, I shouldn't say, but generally when you purchase a fruit tree, it's grafted tree.
Yeah, it's grafted on. And they're specific. They got it all figured out around the country, the entire country,
right?
Which rootstock works best for the areas that it's in.
Right. So around here, I know on my apples, M111 is what I get on a lot of mine. And that's a semi-dwarf, which allows the apple tree to grow to 20 to maybe 25 feet
at
tops.
At most,
So when the sprouts come up below what is the graft on the tree, that is not going to be the fruit that you think it is.
Yeah.
And plums have a tendency to do this a lot.
Yeah.
They sucker up a lot. And I notice my pie cherries do the same thing. Mm-hmm. I get a lot of pie cherry sprouts. They could be even 6 feet away from the tree, and there's a rootstock coming up from over there.
Yeah, that's a rootstock. Yeah. It's not your pie cherry.
It's not the Montmorency that I want it to be.
Yeah.
So, you know, and if you want to graft onto those, you could graft on and then dig that rootstock up and then graft one of your Montmorency or your other sour cherry. Now, sour cherry and sweet cherry have different rootstocks. Is that correct?
I think they are. Because they're
different species.
And they're also different growth habits.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah. So I know peaches are generally on Lowell.
Okay. Lowell.
Yeah, and but I haven't done more research on that. I don't know what apricots are on.
Yeah, I don't know what apricots are on either.
You know, and they used to graft onto quince.
Oh, right.
Pears.
Mm-hmm.
Pears were grafted onto quince.
Interesting.
Because it had such a tremendous root system.
Right.
Yeah,
so. And that's another great head shrub,
mm-hmm.
the Texas red flowering quince that mm-hmm. grows around here. You see yeah. those, they flower right around the same time as the forsythia here.
Yeah.
And so once again, that's another one you would want to let grow flower before you
yeah.
cut.
Mm-hmm.
So the general rule that I think of with flowering shrubs for pruning is the things that flower early in the season, you want to wait and let them flower. But
yeah.
the stuff like the Blumis spirea, for example,
yeah.
you could prune that
yeah.
anytime because that gets its flowers on new growth.
New growth.
That comes out this
yeah,
year.
Yeah, just like roses.
Just like roses, exactly. Yeah. So, and how about pruning roses? That's something people ask me a lot.
Yeah, well, not till, what, 2 weeks before the last frost?
Right.
That's what the general rule of thumb is.
Right.
And
because they're kind of semi-evergreen even.
You some know? Of them are.
Yeah, yeah, some of them will keep their leaves yeah. all if the deer don't eat them.
yeah. So I don't prune mine.
Mm-hmm.
And you, the thing is you got to look and see if where's winter kill to.
Right.
And you go below that.
Right.
And it'll be brown or reddish mm-hmm. brown stuff. And you go
dead
below
wood,
that.
Basically.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
And I know that they say, well, prune so that it's an outside bud. Be thankful you have a rose bush.
Right.
Because it's not always going to be an outside bud.
Right. Exactly.
you know. you know. And, what, and if you looked in a book and they had the hybrid tea roses and they had those perfectly round branches
right.
with a bowl sort of forming a bowl.
Right.
That doesn't happen
no,
here.
That doesn't. That does not happen
California,
here.
It happens.
Right, sure, yeah. But, not on our shrub roses we have here.
No.
And, you know, all around we've got the wild roses here.
Yeah.
The woodsy-eye, I think that is Rosa woodsy-eye, isn't it?
Uh-huh. There's
the,
a what
the woods rose, and the dog rose.
And I have the Austrian copper rose and Persian yellow
mm-hmm.
Hedge rose
okay.
in my hedge grove.
Yeah. And those are probably, are those grafted onto a
no,
different?
No, I dug them up.
Did you? Yeah.
Dug them up. And mm-hmm.
No, those are Rosa rugosa type of
yeah.
rose. Yeah,
but I never get any rose hips.
You don't get, I don't get rose hips on my big ones like that either. But
yeah.
my wild roses that grow on the property that I live
mm-hmm.
on have prolific rose hips on them. They're beautiful.
Here's a thing I saw driving around, and there was a wild rose with all the rose hips.
Yeah.
And all the turkeys were in there eating them away.
the turkeys are everywhere right now, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're getting crazy. So.
Yeah. yeah. But anyways, going back to just the dried the fruit,
mm-hmm.
you know, and another reason you prune, or you might not know, that you prune stone fruit hard.
Mm-hmm.
And,
that means?
You take over half.
You take a lot of the wood away.
A lot of that new growth. You
right.
take a, and the reason you're doing that is they do not... want to make new growth.
Mm-hmm.
Some do. I have a white apricot, Afghani white apricot.
Mm-hmm.
That thing, whether it has a full crop or not, it's just, what do they call it? Hairy.
Right.
and it has to be pruned really heavy.
Right.
But stone fruit generally don't put up new shoots.
Mm-hmm.
So if you keep on leave it too heavy, you're not forcing it to grow.
Right.
So the stone fruit, you actually have to prune pretty hard.
And that will kind of lessen the amount of fruit you get, but the fruit you do get will get nicer.
Get nicer, and you'll have fruit next year. Remember we mentioned
right.
you were thinking 2 and 3 years ahead when
right.
you're pruning.
Exactly. So pruning is a long-term art form,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's the fascinating thing about horticulture is
yeah.
if you're a gardener and you're growing food, you've got all these annual crops. You're growing your lettuce
mm-hmm.
and stuff that are short-term, and
yeah.
even in the annual crops, you've got your leaves that are very short term versus like your tomatoes or your corn or your squashes,
yeah.
which is a full season's worth of work to get
mm-hmm.
to. And then when you get into the perennial farming and the shrubs and the especially the trees, you plant a tree, you could wait
yeah.
5 years before you even see it fruit. And then you, as you just said, you think about the pruning process over the course of
mm-hmm.
of years.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing to even sometimes like leave some of the wood on there and then know that in 3 or 4 years you're going to actually cull that part out.
Yeah, you're going to take it out. You're going to watch it. And some years, and I will actually not go in the tree with the pruners or loppers. I go in with a saw.
Right, yeah.
And I'll go through the entire tree with a saw.
Right.
And then I'll come back and thin.
And you probably just scare people when you do that.
Yes.
I'm sure they're frightened.
yeah.
but they have you back because then the tree grows and they
yeah.
go, oh, okay, he
yeah,
did right.
yeah, it's okay. And I've actually had to tell people to go in their house.
Right.
when I'm
Don't.
Pruning.
don't watch.
Yeah.
You know. You got to trust Lance when he's pruning your trees,
yeah,
though.
Yeah.
So give us a call, 527-4868 or 1-866-KVNF now. We got a few more minutes here.
Oh, yeah. I just, one other thing that I wrote down that I didn't mention last week is the wheat crotches.
Okay.
When branches are too close, mm-hmm, together,
right,
they've forked, shall we say. Mm-hmm. Now, what's the degree? I know 90 degrees is really strong.
90's what I hear is the strongest.
August.
Yeah.
But I think it's anything less than 45,
yeah,
you're going to have to cut one of those off.
That's right.
And
because the fruit will weigh down and,
yeah,
split the branch.
And break the branch. Yeah. Or it's leafed out and we get a heavy wet snow.
Yeah.
Or, right, heavy wet wind storm.
Yep.
You know, it will break the weaker of those two branches.
Mm-hmm. And then that can peel the bark down and it invites disease, and you've,
yeah,
got,
yeah,
a lot of healing to do on that, mm-hmm, tree. So it's better, mm-hmm, just to go ahead and cull one of those,
yeah,
out of there.
Yeah, you can, if you see it soon enough,
right,
it doesn't matter which one, whichever works for you,
right,
take it out.
Yeah. And also with crossed branches and things, that's kind of where, mm-hmm, I start with my trees. When, mm-hmm, I see the crossed branches, I start to cull those out. And,
yep,
you know, pruning is such an art form. It's sculpting a tree. And,
mm-hmm,
and there's a lot of different ways to do it. Around here, you see a lot of the orchard pruning,
yeah,
which is a different style probably than what you do.
And, mm-hmm,
it's definitely different than what I do. I prune for both production but also for beauty.
Yeah.
I want to see a tree. And that might mean getting a ladder out and having to climb up in there and,
yeah,
pick my apples.
Yeah. Well, the orchard just, and I mention this every year, they're pruning for two reasons. Mm. They want, when I first moved here, first of all, they prune for a ladder throw,
mm-hmm,
so you can get into the tree. And the other one is they prune so they get light,
mm-hmm,
so that all the fruit ripens at the same time.
Mm.
When I first moved here, it was color picking and all your stone fruit, except for cherries.
Interesting.
And so that meant that you had to harvest the tree, go through the orchard three or four times.
Yeah, over the course of weeks.
Now they're pruning so that there's all this sunlight evenly,
and they
just pick the whole orchard, mm-hmm, one time.
Interesting.
You know, and stuff. So that's what orchards are doing, is so they can, mm-hmm, harvest. I'd rather have a peach tree,
right,
that you get
produces over 3 weeks.
Yeah. And so it's not this overwhelming amount of work to process the,
yeah,
fruit.
And being mindful also that it's a good idea to kind of keep the centers of those trees open so that there can be some light and some,
yeah,
airflow in there, because this is where disease will happen if we've, mm-hmm, got too much growth in the center.
Yeah, yeah, that's the balance there, because,
yeah,
I've mentioned that if you take too much out, you get sunburn.
Right. Yeah.
So you got to have some light, but not
too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. And cutting those water sprouts out, because, mm-hmm, oftentimes, especially on those apple trees, you'll cut a branch off. Especially when I saw one, if I take a big one and all of a sudden, you know, there'll be 10 little shoots that come out and they're all 5 feet long in,
yeah,
the course of one season, you know.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the next place I'll go. I'll kind of look at the cross branches and then I'll come in and kind of cull those water,
mm-hmm,
sprouts. And sometimes if I find a real strong one, I'll leave that one thinking that that's going to be one that I'm going to allow to grow into an actual branch in the future. Is that,
mm-hmm,
is that a good way to,
oh,
go?
Oh, yeah, yeah. If it's in the right place,
mm-hmm,
you can don't have to take it out, but you can top it.
Top it.
And then it will branch out,
mm-hmm,
the next year, and then you see,
right,
what you got. So it's actually a 2 to 3 year process,
mm-hmm,
to do that. And I'm working in some old cherry trees in the yard, and they were always pruning them, sort of bonsai and spreading them out.
Yeah.
And the whole center was open. Well, it's not open anymore.
Right. All right. Well, we've got another caller, David from Paonia. What's up, David?
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Oh, you guys were talking about competing branches and branches going at certain angles. And I just wanted to mention codominant branches and how those are not good.
Codominant?
Can you define that for us?
It's like when two branches of a similar size come off of each other, or there's essentially two main branches. It's a weak point in the tree. Maybe ornamentals for sure and shade trees, but...
you would take one?
Take one.
Yeah.
I think you want, when there's a main trunk or branch, you want a branch coming off of it that's half the size or less.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I haven't heard that term, but that's great. I mean, that's a good way to prune. And it's interesting, because I think if you asked 50 different pruners, how they do it, you'd get 50 different answers.
I've seen branches grow and split off and be two things, and I generally take one.
Right.
You know, if I'm up there. Yeah. Yeah. The one growing in the right direction, let's put it that
exactly.
way.
Exactly. The one that's right. going the way I want it to. Well, thank you, David.
All right. Well, great. Right,
thanks.
Love
thanks.
The show, man.
Hey, thanks right. for listening. Yeah. Appreciate your call.
Goodbye.
All right.
Well, we would have time for one more call if somebody called in 527-4868 or 1-866-KVNF now. So what else are you working on now besides pruning?
What amount? Firewood for next year.
Exactly.
See, and it's almost done.
See, Lance is actually a permaculturalist. He just doesn't call himself that.
No,
that's called stacking functions.
And I'm going to rebuild fence. I'm going to rebuild some trellises.
Right.
The other real big project that, and this is pruning, is I haven't pruned or thinned out my mulberries for years.
Right.
So there's
and those can be wily.
Yeah.
That's a project.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, I'll be on a ladder with a pole pruner.
Right.
Pole saw for that one. You know, they're huge. And then just be patient with your grapes. They're not. Yeah. It's not time to prune them.
Nope.
No. They're like.
They're about the last thing to leaf out in the garden. So
yeah. But if you prune them early, it stimulates them to grow. Of course, nothing's going to grow now.
Yeah.
But you want to wait till at least in our area, the first, second week of April. Mm-hmm. And it's better to prune them late than to prune them early.
Yeah. I like to let mine kind of show me where they're going to do their fruiting anyway. Because you can always get in. Grapes, you can get in there and kind of hack away at when you need to. And they'll put their little fruit bundles out on that first little shoot.
Yeah, you can see those little things.
So they're another one that put their fruit out on second year wood. It's new wood, but it comes out of old wood.
The buds that you've pruned down.
If you cut it down too far, you won't get fruit.
No.
So. Yeah. So, yeah, well, that's great. And I'm starting some seeds now. So I do a bunch of perennial starts right now. So that's what I've been working on.
That's your project.
That's my project. Yeah, a lot of perennials. And they're beautiful.
Oh, great.
Yeah, my little babies. So all kinds of cool.
Well, we'll have you on again. And
we'll talk more about that. Those, seed starting.
Yeah, seed starting.
That's probably a little eager for most people. It's still snow on the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there are some things that take a long time to germinate.
Yes. Yes, and some things you got to stratify in the cold, which I had to do for a bunch of
perennials. Well, I tell people to at least start their peppers.
And celery. Oh, peppers for sure.
Peppers and eggplant maybe and celery plants.
I have my onions in too. Uh-huh. I start my onions in February so because they're transplants. They go out. So and they're 120 days on some of that stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, but yeah. Well, great. Well, thanks a lot, Lance.
Yeah, it's been
learned
fun.
A lot. Always. Good. We'll see you again next week.
Next week.
Here on The Worm.
Yeah, sounds good.
You've got a cute Vespa getting Mazda, which you can make go slow and faster. I don't know who you took a shine to or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so.